Integrated.
What do you mean?
Too many of us struggle to integrate our faith into our lives.
Is it both?
When the head is full, but the heart is empty, the soul becomes cold and lifeless.
So it's both, together.
This is the integration where faith finds its true power.
Oh, now I get it.
Welcome to Integrated, where theology and life come together. And now your host, all the way from Sharpsburg, Georgia, this is Dr. John Kreutz.
Welcome to Integrated. Today we want to talk about a sober subject. We want to talk about the reality of hell. It's so awful that we don't really even want to think about it. Yeah, I think if we're being honest, we would just rather pretend that hell doesn't exist, but it does exist, and it matters. On Integrated, our goal is not just to understand the teaching of the Bible and how it fits together, but it's to understand and to apply it to our lives. What difference does it make when the Bible's teaching on a subject occurs to us? Do we just go along and do the same old things that we've always done? No, it should be something that changes our lives. We're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word. Well, the Bible tells us about hell, and we need to do something about that. So let's just consider the fact that it does matter a lot. There are so many examples in the Bible that teach about hell. I mean, Paul in 2 Thessalonians is talking about the return of Christ. In the middle of verse 7 of chapter 1, he says, "The Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might when he comes on that day to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed." So we love to think about the return of Christ. We hope he's coming back this very year. That's wonderful for us who believe in Jesus. However, he's also coming to inflict vengeance, he says, for those who don't believe and for those who reject the gospel. And Paul's very specific that they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction. So I don't want to think about this. Yeah, but the Bible talks about it. God wants you to think about this. Otherwise, the Bible wouldn't have anything to say to us about it. So if we love the Bible and we read our Bibles, we're going to read about hell. Well, if we could just focus on what Jesus says and not have to worry about Paul getting all upset and angry and talking about hell. But we know if we're Bible readers, that Jesus has a lot to say about hell himself. After he's finishing up, or really in the midst of what we call the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus is talking to his disciples about his return, he tells some parables. And when he gets to the punchline of the parables, there's a twist. And that twist points to what the Bible teaches about hell. So just one chapter, I just want to draw your attention to three different verses straight from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. Matthew 25, verse 30. And he's talking about the slothful servants who did not use the talents that the Lord had given them. This is the parable of the talents. And at the very end, verse 30, he says, "And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." If you go down just a few verses where he's talking about the sheep on one side and the goats on the other side. And Lord, Lord, when did we, you know, see you in need and not meet your needs? Or we did meet your needs. Remember that at the end of Matthew 25? Well, when he talks about the wicked, he says in verse 41, then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Sometimes people talk about hell being the devil's hell. Well, this verse actually says that the original intent of hell is for the devil. And yet, it's also going to be those fallen angels we call demons who followed the Satan instead of obeying the Lord. They too will go to this place. However, all the wicked on the earth who've rejected the free offer of forgiveness through Christ will go there as well. There's another verse in this chapter, Matthew 25, verse 46, and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It grieves us to think about this. It's hard to think about this. And the more people we know that we're suspicious may be there, that makes it even harder for us to think about it. And yet, it's important. It actually motivates us to think about the reality of hell. So, even before we talk more about what the Bible says about hell, let's just stop right now and start thinking of ways that this should affect our lives. What should we do about this? Well, number one, you should be motivated to say, I don't want to go there, right? I don't even know all that's involved in hell yet, but I know enough to know I don't want to go there. Well, what should you do? You should believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. You should keep on believing. You should keep going on with the Lord. God has offered us all that we need to not go to hell. He came, he lived a perfect life, the Lord Jesus. He suffered and died on the cross in the place of sinners. God poured hell onto Jesus on the cross, and then God raised him from the dead on the third day, showing us that God accepted his sacrifice. God's wrath against sinners who believe in Jesus has been satisfied. That's what propitiation means, satisfaction. And through the death of Jesus, God's wrath is satisfied for all who believe in Christ. So, number one, first application right out of the gate is to turn away from your sin. Wake up to the reality that the road you're on is leading you to this place of eternal torment, and believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You know, sometimes people say, saved, that sounds like a Christian-y word. What does it even mean? Well, we're saved from God's wrath. We're saved from the punishment of our sins. You can even say, we're saved from God. We're saved by God, but we're saved from God because we deserve God's wrath. So that's a vital application, and it's a great one. Hell should motivate you to believe in Jesus. Another application is, I don't want my friends to go to hell. Listen to what Paul said about his fellow kinsmen, the Jews, in Romans 9, verse 2, that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Paul's passion was to see his fellow kinsmen, the Jews, saved. They needed to be saved because of the reality of hell. Our friends, our family, our loved ones who don't believe in Jesus are going to this place. That should motivate us to pray for them, to look for opportunities to share the good news about Jesus. Of course, they have to know the bad news. And the bad news is they've broken God's commandments and they're headed to that place. But the good news is there is a way of escape. So you don't want to think about hell. I don't want to think about hell. But the Bible talks about hell and teaches us about hell. So it's important for us. And it's important, we've seen so far, because it motivates us to come to Christ ourselves. And it motivates us to boldly pray for and share the gospel with our friends so that they might hear the good news and come to Christ as well and not go to this place of hell. Well, we have to take a break and take a breath and then come back. We'll talk more about what the Bible teaches about hell and what difference it makes in our lives.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Kratz in just a moment. You know, the reality of hell, what he's been discussing today, not exactly the topic most people want to hear about. But you know what's interesting? Life is Best. It's a resource that's available in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org with Scott Klusendorf. It tackles this same challenge of engaging with difficult truths. And I know this is a pro-life resource, but when Scott Klusendorf and others show you how to discuss matters of eternal significance, they're really equipping you for the kind of conversations that Dr. Kratz is also calling us to have. You can really learn a lot from Life is Best. And I should probably mention something about becoming a gospel partner right now. That's usually how these perks go, right? But instead, let me tell you why I get excited about what's happening at Fortis Institute. Because every time I hear Dr. Kratz open scripture like this, it reminds me of why we do what we do. Yes, we need partners to keep doing it. But more than that, we need people who understand why teaching the entire counsel of God matters so much. If you want to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be forever grateful if you would pray about what it would look like in your life to join us. You can find answers to all of the questions you likely have right now at fortisinstitute.org. But you know what else that matters? Having biblical truth at your fingertips. The Fortis Plus app isn't just another Christian app. 7 new posts are loaded every single day. Posts that dig into these exact kinds of topics. I love talking about Fortis Plus because it's absolutely free. Hundreds of hours of content, video and audio are available there right now, absolutely free of charge. And here's what it comes down to. We're living in a time when eternal truths are being dismissed as outdated or irrelevant. But at Fortis Institute, we see something different happening. People are hungry for substance. People want to hear these subjects, these difficult biblical topics tackled head on. And that's why we brought together some of the greatest Christian thinkers in the world today, people just like Dr. John Kratz. And so if you're tracking with what you're hearing and you're already faithfully giving to your local church and not strapped by any kind of unmanaged debt, we would really be grateful if you would pray about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. But don't just take my word for it. Visit fortisinstitute.org and see for yourself right now what we're all about. fortisinstitute.org. Now, let's get back to Dr. John Kratz. This is Integrated. Welcome back to Integrated.
It has to go from a theory, a concept, or even a theology. It has to move our hearts.
And now back to your host, Dr. John Kratz.
Welcome back. We have been talking about the sober topic of hell, eternal conscious torment for those who reject the wonderful offer of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is real. R.C. Sproul once said in his Holiness series, if God is holy and unrepentant sin exists, hell must exist. And the Bible certainly affirms that truth. Now, we've seen it's revealed in Scripture. Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. It grieves us to think about it, but it motivates us. We've seen some applications already that it motivates us to believe in Jesus, and it motivates us to boldly try to rescue our friends from hell through our prayers, through our witness, through our example, calling them to repent of their sins and to believe in the Lord Jesus, warning them not to go to that place. I mean, what if you were standing at the edge of a cliff and there was a road that just had a broken bridge that was not visible from the road and you knew about it and you had friends driving along the road about to hit that bridge, which would crash them, you know, through the bridge down into the gorge below to their certain deaths? Well, how terrible of a friend would you be if you didn't try to do what you could to stop them before they got to the bridge? Well, what are some more applications? We don't want to think about hell, but it's good to think about hell. The Bible talks about hell. God wants us to think about hell. So what are some other applications? You know, thinking about hell is a reminder of how awful our sin is. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, after he gives that word about lust, right? You remember that one in Matthew 5:27. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, right? That's right in the Ten Commandments, number 7. Then verse 28, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Well, got you right there, right? Yeah, we're all, you know, sobered because we've certainly experienced that sin. So many of us have had heart adultery that we've needed to repent of. But listen to the words that follow this shocking reality of heart-level adultery. Jesus says, if your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. For it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body go into hell. Well, obviously, Jesus is giving a graphic illustration. And of course, you know, just humanly speaking, physically, it wouldn't stop you from sinning to gouge your eye out or to cut your hand off. But that shows us, though, the radical amputation that Jesus pictures when he talks about our fight with sin. And why is it so radical? Why would he use such a graphic illustration? Because of the reality of hell. So there's an application for us. As you think about hell, you should be motivated to fight against your sin by the power of the Holy Spirit. Don't keep sinning. Sin leads you to that awful place. You know, think about it in terms of what radical steps could you take to avoid sinning today, so you don't go there tomorrow. Another application of thinking about hell, and you've probably already experienced it listening to this episode of Integrated, it adjusts our attitudes. You know, so many Christians are almost giddy in their Christian life. They make the Christian life happy clappy, if you will. And it seems like everything is rainbows and butterflies. But the reality of hell should mute that. Yes, we're to be joyful. It's a sober joy. It's real joy. And that is happiness, absolutely. We should be the happiest people around, but not only happy. We should be sobered. We should be serious-minded because of the reality of hell. The people you're looking at, as you look, as you're driving, as you're looking around, maybe you're listening to this in a coffee shop, or maybe you're on a walk. Maybe you're not looking at anybody, but you will be looking. They're going to heaven or they're going to hell. It's a fact. And that should sober us. It should sober us. It also, thinking about hell, adjusts our perspective. No one ultimately gets away with anything. And that's a good reminder. I mean, when Jesus comes back, 2 Thessalonians 1, we saw it in the first segment that Jesus is coming back with vengeance. No one ultimately gets away with anything. There will be justice. Hell is a place of justice. Another application of thinking about hell is boldness. Boldness. Matthew 10, 28, as Jesus is giving instructions when he sends out his apostles and tells them that they will suffer and be given over by even family members, but they need to persevere. In Matthew 10, 28, he says, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Jesus connects the teaching of hell to our boldness in our witness and our persevering in our ministry. And another application is that believing in hell should make us profoundly grateful to God for sending Jesus to save us from that place. Oh, my friend, you are not in hell today. If you are hearing me, you're not there. What's your day like? You may have thought, I'm having the worst day in the world. You are not having the worst day. You are not in hell. That's where you deserve to be. And if you were in hell, your day would be much, 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 much worse. So have some joy. Have some happiness in the Lord. Be profoundly grateful. So what does the Bible teach about hell? The Bible teaches that hell is this place of punishment. It is a place of torment. The Bible uses that language. Hell is described in graphic pictures, that it is unquenchable fire. It is being sent to outer darkness. It is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We also see that hell is a place of conscious punishment. We just saw the weeping and gnashing of teeth. You're not just doing that unconsciously. You are aware of what is happening. And of course, in the story Jesus tells in Luke 16 of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man was very conscious and remembered what was going on, remembered his brothers back in his life, remembered the poor man Lazarus who had been begging at his steps. It's a conscious punishment. It's also an eternal punishment. We saw in Matthew 25, 46, that Jesus parallels eternal life and eternal punishment. We love to think about how heaven will be forever and ever, but the very same word eternal is used twice in Matthew 25, verse 46. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. It's just the same. Wow. Well, my friends, if you stop believing in hell, you will eventually stop believing in the cross, because what Jesus accomplished on the cross was taking hell in the place of believing sinners. This is a very important teaching. If there is no eternal hell, Jesus didn't have to come and die for us. He didn't have to be the God-man, but he did, and he was, because hell is real, because God is just. Listen, I don't want to be legalistic. I don't want to take you places beyond where the Bible goes. But I think we should be very sober about listening to or making jokes about hell. Because whatever the punchline is, it's not worth diminishing the reality of that awful place. That's all for today. Don't just hear this, but do it. Let's let the teaching, the sober teaching about hell, affect the way that we live our lives.
This has been Integrated from Dr. John Krotz, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Integrated with Dr. John Krotz, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.